Thank you. It's a real pleasure to be here. And I really appreciated Hongmei's presentation about evaluation because I think it's really difficult. One of the big challenges of doing this kind of upstream work around the social determinants of health and health and all policies is how do we evaluate this work and how do we show impact? So I think it's really important. So I'm going to kind of take a step back and talk about what is health in all policies and why do we need it, and then I'm going to share the story about California's health in all policies task force and a little bit about what we've learned in the process of doing this work. And I want to acknowledge that health in all policies is an emerging field, particularly in the United States. There are no blueprints for how to do this. We're all figuring it out as we go along. We're all doing it differently. There are a lot of different ways to do it. And in fact, we're building on a long legacy in the field of public health of working across sectors and addressing these kinds of policy areas, but health and all policies kind of brings a new level of intention into it. I think health and all policies can be an important strategy for addressing some of the biggest challenges that are facing our communities today. So I'm going to zip through these first few slides pretty quickly, but I just wanted to set the stage for why we are embarking on this work in California, and I think the story will ring true for the rest of the country as well. We're facing tremendous health challenges. Chronic disease rates are rising. Obesity rates in California for children have tripled in the last 30 years. Health inequities are also growing, and climate change has also been dubbed the greatest public health threat of our time and intersects with a lot of the other health issues that we're tackling through health and all policies. I think these pictures will probably be familiar to you in terms of the landscapes that we all see in our lives. The food environments that we face have a big impact on how well we eat, what we have access to. The same goes for our transportation environments. These are two very different environments that can have a tremendous impact on how we live our lives. And here are two pictures of different settings that children might find themselves in when they want to go outside and play. And you can imagine which of these settings is going to lend itself more to physical activity. And in many communities, people don't even want their children to go outside and play because there's no safe place to go. So these are kind of why we need health in all policies. These neighborhood features are largely determined by agencies and policies that go far beyond the scope of healthcare or what a traditional public health department does, but they have profound and lasting health impacts. So non-health agencies have a very important role to play in promoting health. Here's a definition of health in all policies. Health in all policies is really an approach more than a set of activities. And our team has identified some of the key principles that we embrace in this work, and I'm going to share those in the next slide. This is one definition. There are a lot of definitions out there, but as we've been looking at the different definitions of health and all policies, they're actually very similar, and it's really about having this new approach that is about embedding health into decision-making across government. So these are the five principles that our California team has been embracing in our work. At its core, health in all policies is about improving population health and reducing inequities. The approach also seeks to build partnerships across sectors in order to recognize the links between health and non-health policy areas and also break down silos, or we like to call it silo busting. It's very exciting to do that. It's really built upon the value of co-benefits and win-wins, and the idea that every participant at a health and all policies table should benefit from the work of the group as a whole, and that collaboration can also help us be more effective in using scarce government resources, so there's an efficiency angle to this as well. Health and all policies engages external stakeholders, both for their expertise in identifying problems and solutions and their ability to carry out the work. And finally, and this is very important, we're really striving to change how agencies relate to each other and how decisions are made. It's about creating structures and process changes to sustain intersectoral collaboration around health for the long term. So I'm going to talk a bit about the California story. Our previous governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, was interested in health and fitness, and he started paying attention to the rising obesity rates. And at the same time, our public health leaders, who were doing a lot of work around chronic disease, saw an opportunity to make these links for his administration and brought to his attention this idea that if he wanted to do this work, that he could start thinking about this kind of cross-sectoral approach. And he got it. And in 2010, at a summit on health, nutrition, and obesity, the governor issued an executive order to establish an interagency health and all policies task force. The executive order directed the Strategic Growth Council, which is a cabinet-level body in California, to establish this health and all policies task force. And the purpose of the task force, which was outlined in the executive order, and it was to develop recommendations and implementation plans to promote the health of Californians while also considering environmental sustainability and equity. And the Department of Public Health was named as the facilitator and staffed the task force in partnership with the Public Health Institute, which is a nonprofit organization. This slide just shows the logos of the participating agencies. And I'm not going to read them off, but actually in the back of the room by the door, you are welcome to pick up a copy of our executive summary of our report. And this highlights the recommendations that the task force has put out and also has information about the membership. But the scope is very broad. We have departments representing transportation, education, agriculture, social services, labor, parks, and it goes on from there. The representatives tend to be high-level officials, such as agency undersecretaries and deputy directors. And one of the first things that the task force did, and that was really important to our process, was to identify some aspirational goals. We were really at the beginning working with these member agencies to help them understand the links between their work and health, and it was really important to come up with some concepts that everybody could kind of get around and understand. And so they identified 6 aspirational goals, which include opportunities for walking, biking, and public transit, safe, healthy, and affordable housing, places to be active, including green space and trees, safe communities, access to healthy, affordable foods, and finally, that decision makers should be informed about the health consequences of their decisions before they make those decisions. So this slide basically lists the steps that the task force carried out, and there's much more detail than I'm going to be able to go into today. But the task force first came together and built relationships, explored the links between these different areas in health, sought input from stakeholders, and ultimately developed a set of 34 recommendations of things that state agencies can do to promote health that are collaborative and that also support environmental sustainability. So there were a lot of criteria that went into this process. The stakeholder input was key in this process and ultimately led to 4 cross-cutting themes being identified, which the task force felt were important to reflect through all of its work. And those are up here. They're about collaboration, promoting equity, community engagement, and data. And then the task force, from the 34 recommendations that it put together, identified a smaller set to prioritize and take action on, and developed 8 implementation plans. Those plans contain in them specific action steps that agencies have committed to taking, working together to carry out this work. And I want to acknowledge that we're working under very, very tight resource constraints, and so these were realistic, actionable steps given current constraints, in contrast to the aspirational kind of visionary goals that this work is falling under. I'll give a few quick examples of the work of the task force. One of them is the task force has recently brought partners together to create an interagency farm-to-fork office. And I think some of these will sound similar to the work that's happening in Nebraska. We're all working on kind of very similar kinds of concepts. So our Department of Education wanted to get more local food into schools and make it easier for schools to purchase from local farms. Our Department of Agriculture was interested in supporting these kinds of distribution networks. And public health also had an interest, and the three departments have contributed resources to create this interagency office. So we're very excited about it. We're just getting it staffed up now. In addition, the state issues guidance documents that are used by cities and counties, for example, to develop general plans or transportation plans. And so the task force has been working with the different departments to figure out how we can incorporate health considerations into those guidance documents in order to promote health kind of across the board and promote health in a way that's going to reach the cities and counties and make its way into planning processes. And then the third example that I'll share is one of the great roles that we've been able to play is we sometimes find out about these areas where there are tensions between different policy areas that both are promoting health, in our opinion, and we can come in and play a moderator role and help bring different partners to the table. So we've been interested in supporting infill development or urban density, having people live in more dense urban areas, because it's a way of promoting walkability, access to services, and also to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. However, when people live in dense urban areas, they're often near busy roadways and have exposure to poor air quality. And so there have been these tensions around how do we balance these goals? And we have not solved it. And I think this is something that's a challenge all across the country and globally, but we have been able to bring together partners from housing, transportation, environmental, our Air Resources Board to come together and talk about these issues and start to kind of tease out how can we promote each of these goals simultaneously. I want to share some of the lessons that we have learned. Our task force has now been around for 2.5 years. It feels very new in many ways, but we've also done quite a lot in those 2.5 years. And we've had a chance as a team to do quite a lot of reflecting in the last several months about what we've learned. And one of the things I want to share is that opportunities are all around you. And if you have a vision for what you want to achieve, you will find opportunities almost everywhere that you look. Opportunities can include discovering that another agency is prioritizing health. For example, we found out our new superintendent of schools had a healthy kids campaign, and we went and said, great, how can we help you? And all kinds of projects have flowed from that. Or a mayor or governor wants a new way to address obesity or chronic disease, and this could be a solution. Or there might be an existing process, like a strategic planning process, where we can just infuse health into that process that's already ongoing. So, like I said, these opportunities are everywhere. It's also important to start with easy wins. And easy wins are not always small. Sometimes easy wins can be really big and impactful. But even if they are small, they're important for building morale, giving people practice in working together, building goodwill between partners, and they can also lead to bigger wins down the line. We embrace a concept of win-win solutions. It's really important to improve health and also support our partners' goals. This is especially key given everybody's resource constraints. People want to know what's in it for me. It also helps to establish trust and helps our partners leverage their resources and, you know, goes back to the efficiency idea that the more wins we can have in a single action, the better and the more people we can get on board. We also think about collaboration a lot, and there's a group in Australia has put together a model that kind of summarizes collaboration in the concepts of trust, reciprocity, and mutuality, and we have found this to be true. We've found that trust, a big piece of trust is around humility. We're working in all kinds of areas, and I think my bio when I was introduced listed all these areas that I've worked in, and I'm not an expert in all of those areas. I've just worked in them. And so there's we're working on way too many areas to really be experts in them, and so we have to go in with a learner's mind. We have to be willing to ask questions, to make mistakes, to admit our mistakes, to apologize, to go back and find out what we need to learn. We have to be accountable to our partners. We have to follow to ask questions, to make mistakes, change. It's been really important in terms of trust building to assume good intentions. We often, somebody will say something that we don't understand and we might have some story in our mind about what that means. They don't really care about health. That's usually not true. Most people I found work in government because they really care, regardless of what sector they're working in. And so having that open mind and being willing to learn has been really key. Reciprocity, I want to mention also. I'm going to talk a little bit about each of these. Reciprocity has been an interesting concept for us. It's not exactly the same. It's a kind of a give-and-take culture, but it's not exactly where we're keeping tabs, and I'll give you this, and then you give me that. It's more this idea of a culture of generosity and goodwill, and that we will go ahead and give to you and expect that something is going to come back later, and that's been really key in this work, and it's been important for us as the facilitators of this process to model this and take the first step and be very giving, and we have found that it does come back. And then the third piece is mutuality, and this is the idea that we really can be aligned around a common vision. You know, government is not organized generally around mutual goals. It's very siloed in our approach. This isn't a natural set up for government function, but it is a very human approach, and we've been able to bring two people together and really create a common vision, and I think that that's really what this work is about, breaking down silos, aligning our efforts, and each of us, it's like the puzzle image up here. We each have a piece of the puzzle, but they have to fit together to really create the whole. Also, I cannot underscore enough the importance of what we call a backbone team. This is the group of staff who help make these collaborative efforts work. In California, we have a backbone team of five. Actually, several of you are in the room. And four of us work full-time on health and all policies. We carry out a wide variety of tasks and functions. I won't say what all of them are, but we... Just as a few examples, we facilitate. We facilitate meetings. We create agendas. We think about who should be at the table. We meet with people. We meet with experts. We do conduct research. We hear about an idea from one person, and we go and talk to four other people to see if they agree and what ideas they have. And then when we find alignment, we get those people in the same room and help them figure out where they might have something to move forward on, and then we help, you know, so we're very actively facilitating ideas they have, and then when we find alignment, we get those people in the same room and help them figure out where they might to carry out their own work, but with this health lens. So the staff team has been really key. We have also conducted an evaluation of our work, but we've done it really differently. Our evaluation was really on the process and the relationships. And so I just want to share a few of the findings that we have from this piece. We worked with Harder and Company, which is a California-based evaluation firm. And we found that our task force members really did have a sense of greater trust as a result of working in this group, trusting each other, trusting other agencies than they did before. They reported collaborating more with each other, but also that their agencies as a whole are collaborating more with other agencies and that they're collaborating more with non-governmental organizations. And they also reported that their motivation for participating, that yes, they're motivated because we're helping them achieve their goals, but they're also motivated because they see the opportunity to impact health. So this is coming from people in transportation or education, not in health sectors. So it's important to not underestimate that, you know, we want to give them the co-benefits and win-wins, but they're also here because they care about health. We asked them what barriers they face in doing this work. Resource constraints is really big. They just don't have the time, the resources, the staff. Some of them said that they don't always have enough decision-making authority within their agencies, and that can be a challenge. And also, our work, we had a very clear roadmap for the first year and a half, and things are a little bit more vague now about where we're heading, and they want more clarity, so we're working on that. And we asked them what the top three elements of success have been that they would recommend for other groups. They said having actionable recommendations that are politically and financially feasible, having the cross-sectoral participation, really having a broad group at the table, and then having the high-level directive that helps get people to the table in the first place. In closing, I want to let you know that we have been working with APHA to produce a guide on health and all policies for state and local governments that's largely informed by our experiences as well as what we've learned about what other people are doing. It'll be out in early 2013. And in the back of the room by the door, there are flyers for the guide, and there are also copies of our executive summary, which you're welcome to pick up. On the flyers is an email address. You can write to us to get an announcement, or you can just drop off your card before you leave, and we'll be happy to add you to our email list. So thank you very much.